The Needle and the Mouse returns. I'm Dan Frommer.
I'm Lauren Sherman.
And we're here for episode 6, recording on November 23rd, 2012. Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We had a bit of an interesting night last night.
Yes.
Which we won't go into details about, but
I'm thankful that Thanksgiving is over. No, I'm just kidding. It was really fun.
So let's start off with something newsy today.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the idea of, it is Black Friday. It's
yes,
like
it is.
A really disgusting day for commerce. There's a great story on BuzzFeed today, which is, it was a quiz with a bunch of photos, and the question was, for each photo, Black Friday or actual riot?
Yeah.
It was like police with assault rifles and, you know, some of them looked like bloody riots, and they were just the scene outside of Walmart.
Yeah,
and some of
totally.
Them looked like crazy shopping, and there was real looting. So that was funny. But one of the interesting things today we saw was, what was that website?
It's called everlane.com.
And what is it? I'd never even heard of it until today.
So I have a bunch of stuff from them. They do their whole thing. The last year, there have been all these different websites doing like really nice T-shirts for affordable prices. There's just like all these T-shirt websites. And Everlane's spin on that is that they source really, really good stuff, but they're cutting out the middle, quote unquote, middleman, so they can charge $15 for a T-shirt that, you know, at Bloomies or whatever would be $100. I have bought a couple of their T-shirts. Not saying that they are as nice as a James purse, but they're really great. They're cut really well, which I think is something that's difficult to find. And like a white T-shirt isn't going to last you that long anyway, so I'd rather
especially when I ruin it, the laundry.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the white T-shirt that you ruined.
Sorry.
But so they do T-shirts.
More.
Thank you. They're only $15 a
pop.
But
I can't get you one today.
You can't today. Because they decided that their whole idea is to cut back consumerism. They want, well, supposedly that's what they're saying. And are you on their website? You could read the little thing.
So if you go to their website today, you can't buy anything. It just says Everlane, buy less, buy better. As a business, we appreciate holiday shopping, but we feel the excess around Black Friday has put the focus on quantity over quality. Because we want to help people consume less by creating fewer, longer-lasting products, we decided to shut down the site today. Have a wonderful holiday, and we'll be back tomorrow. And that's it. So you can't even browse. And I mean, this is like a funny stunt, and they're getting a lot of press for it. And actually, it looks like you can hit the About button in the upper right corner, and now I'm able to browse the site. Oh, no, I can't browse the site. Okay. So anyway, the idea is that they're not accepting my money today.
No, they are not.
Is this a good idea?
I think that the point that they're making is good. I'm not sure if... the thing is, they're a business. They're a retail business, and they're, you know, we live in a capitalist country, and there's capitalism, and yada yada yada, and I don't think they necessarily had to. Maybe they didn't have like a crazy blowout sale. Maybe they didn't put anything on sale because they don't really need to because the stuff's so affordable anyway. And maybe they, but I don't know. I kind of think it's crazy to shut down on what could have been your biggest day of the year. They definitely got a lot of press around it, but will the site, I mean, I more than likely their sales will be crazy tomorrow. So it was totally worth it. But
so first of all, one of the interesting things I saw on Twitter was someone saying, well, this is kind of a half stunt because if they were really serious about this, they'd shut down on Cyber Monday. And I think Cyber Monday is actually a bigger online shopping day than today. Is that true or not? Or is that a lie?
I don't know if that's true anymore.
Know.
So the problem with Cyber Monday is it kind
Besides
of exists.
Just ridiculous and stupid name.
Yeah, but it kind of existed for like 2 years, probably from like 2001 to 2004. But that was when a lot of people still didn't have internet at home. So the whole idea was that after you went shopping on Black Friday and over the weekend, when you were at your desk at lunch, on Monday, you would shop, do your holiday shopping online. But everyone has high speed internet at home now. So like
on their phone, which is where a lot of like, I read somewhere like
starting.
15% maybe of shopping was done on a mobile today.
Really?
I don't
That's crazy. But a lot of websites actually started doing sales on Wednesday.
So the whole thing is silly. To me, it's just like, I'm with you. I agree that capital, like the Black Friday stuff is insane, but that's not your business. Like if Walmart were to do that, that would be taking a stand. Yeah. But this is Everlane. Like, so first of all, I don't think they're going to lose any money because anyone who wanted to buy something here today will just buy it tomorrow or the next day or something. I don't think anyone needed something badly enough that they will be like, okay, I have to order it from like Target or something else, or I'll just go buy it at Kmart. I don't think that's the case. But to me, this is just like, this is kind of a protest about something. This is a stupid protest.
I think what I believe should happen to all this stuff, which will never happen because like this year, Lauren Taylor opened on Thursday and a bunch of places did sales on Wednesday and so many stores like are struggling anyway, but they're really struggling on the East Coast because of Sandy and they lost those 2 weeks of business. So they are like starting to mark down stuff really quickly, but they should just have one big sale and it shouldn't be like Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Thanksgiving Day, just have a sale and make it like the first day it's 20% off, the second day it's 30, fourth day it's 40. And there's just so much like marketing noise around all this crap and it gets people really panicky and that's why they go wait in line. Also, people love to wait in line, whatever they say. They love it. People were out at Toys R Us at like 10 o'clock last night waiting for the line. They're obsessed with it. It's a weird thing that humans actually enjoy waiting in line. I don't.
And by the way, it's not just America. Go to Japan and there's a line in front of Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, people love lines. They love lines.
So I think this is a dumb protest. I think that like maybe there's like a tiny community of people who are online are like, yeah, sticking it to the man. But this to me is just very annoying.
I really like their product, but I do feel like they're a little self-congratulatory. Like the, you know, if you just read the language on the site and they're very sincere and that's great. And we're living in a very ironic world right now. Like everything is about irony. So it's very nice that they're sincere, but at the same time, I'm like a little eye-rolly about their whole, like just the way they talk about their product. And it looks great. I've bought stuff. I think that the styling's good. The art direction on the site's good. And they have a really good, interesting business. And I would love to learn more about it. But, like in general, I do think they're a little
retail experience, one that exists 100% online and bypasses all the middlemen to create beautiful designer goods at truly disruptive prices.
Yeah, like but the
follow
but
us on Twitter.
Like if that looked like shit, all I would do is make fun of them. But it looks awesome, and the product is really nice. So it's like they are a little ridiculous for my taste, but at the same time, I do think they're trying to do something good. So. You don't know. I might be doing a story on them at some point. Cool. I think they are a good company to watch out for, even if they're a bit off.
So, on similar topic, we're published our Needle and the Mouse holiday gift guide.
Yes,
which is on our website at needleandthemouse.com.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about gift guides for a second.
Yeah, gift guides. I've been writing gift guides basically since I graduated from college, which is like 8 years ago.
Is anyone doing like a roundup of the best gift guides?
I think that at one point...
Sounds like something New York Magazine would do.
Yeah. I mean, they do their own gift guides that are great.
20 of their own gift
guides. Yeah. You know, I feel like when I worked at Fashionista, we did that a couple times. And also, I think like AOL Stylist, that website does it, and the Times may do that, but they actually did a lot of their own online gift guides this year. Hey, the funny thing about gift guides on the web is that they don't get a ton of traffic. Like they're not, you know, terribly performing.
It's not something that people. It's not like the potential to go viral or to get linked to or written about is very low.
Yes.
Like it's generally a low performing post. But if you can work it into an affiliate program or something
exactly.
like that, it can be lucrative.
And the other thing is that advertisers really like to sponsor gift guides. So
because I'm guessing people are in the mood to buy stuff and where there's purchase intent, advertising is, you know, infinitely more valuable.
Exactly. So everyone does them because, and also, you know, They're fun as like yeah. as I mean, a fashion writer.
We did
ours
for fun. I did on my site splatf.com. I did one last year on December 22nd or something like that called the SplatF Slacker Gift Guide. And I had so much fun with it, and it made a nice amount of money. I mean, for the work I put into it, that I just did another one, the SplatF Holiday Gift Guide at splatf.com, and I have so much fun with it. It's like, here's where I can, you know, part of it is like, here's the cool stuff that I bought this year. You should buy it for yourself or for your friends. And some of it is, you know, legitimately wanting to help people find cool things that. It's not like, oh, here's the cheapest TV you can buy on sale. I'm never interested in that. But hey, here's this book from, about a really interesting Swedish chef that you may or may never have heard of, and you should check it out. It's very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a big part of my job has always been like showing people stuff that maybe they haven't heard of, or maybe they do know about, but that, like, they should. Convincing them that they should buy that or whatever. So I like doing them, and I feel like the people who read them also are like really engaged or whatever. Like you want a reader who's going to click through and who wants to learn something. And so they're fun, but they're also really valuable. Yeah, I love them. I hope we can do one every year forever.
Is there a point to doing them throughout the year, or is it really only a holiday thing?
Because
people are spending money all the time.
We do them, you know, at every job I've had, we've done them like for Mother's Day, for Father's Day. Those are two big ones. I've done like first anniversary gift guides. Like any occasion, you can do a gift guide around it. And people need help. Like one of the biggest searches where I work right now is paper anniversary gifts, because we did a 1 year anniversary gift guide. Mm-hmm. Because people they're like, what do I get someone for their first anniversary? I mean, I can't believe people buy other people gifts for their first anniversaries in the first place.
Like wedding anniversaries?
Yeah. Like we bought each other a gift, but no one else was like, happy anniversary. Here's more money.
I thought you were supposed to buy an anniversary present.
For each other. But like,
oh, other people bought for someone else's anniversary.
Yeah.
Oh, that's strange.
Because I guess people have anniversary parties. I don't know about every year, but like the fifth anniversary or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're not doing that. I do know what I want from you for our tenth anniversary, but we'll talk about that later. But yeah, I mean, I think that they're valuable. They're an interesting use of the internet.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So my gift guide on SplatF, I'm looking at Google Analytics right now. The average time on page is actually below the average time on page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the last month. But
that's interesting.
It's still pretty long, almost 3 minutes. So that suggests that people are actually looking at it.
You didn't do a slideshow, so it's not like...
No, it's just one page. Yeah. So anyway, sorry, that's what I was looking for. So, but you wanted to talk about Oprah's gift guide.
Yeah, yeah.
Why
so,
is that?
Well, I did a little story for my friends at fashionista.com about Oprah's favorite things, which she does this gift guide every year. It's like, I don't know, 50 product guide of like
Oprah's, what is it called, Oprah's favorites or something?
Yeah, Oprah's favorite things. It's actually called the O list, and then the like subtitle is Oprah's favorite things. But I did a little story for them looking at how influential this gift guide is, because when she first launched it, I think in 2004, it was insane. Like she put Spanx, like Spanx, the reason Spanx is like, the owner of Spanx is like a multi-millionaire, probably like close to being a billionaire, is partially because of Oprah, because she put it on that list. And
this was like kind of the peak of Oprah's.
Yeah, and the biggest year, so like the two biggest years, so it started in 2004 and it kept building. 2008 was big because that was like right before like the depths of the recession, and it was like the crash was in 2008, right?
Yeah.
So it was like that year when people were still like panicking and were like, fuck it, I'm just gonna spend money. And then 2009, it kind of got shit, like people didn't care as much. I don't think she did it in 2010.
When did she do the Kindle? Because wasn't that a big thing that she like, didn't she?
It may have been 2011, which was 2010. It was 2010.
I'm looking it up.
So I think in 2009 she skipped her favorite things because she felt like it was...
Oprah endorses Amazon's Kindle October 2008.
Oh, 2008. That was the biggest year for it. Except...
And that was a big deal because the Kindle was new then and it was still very expensive and people were skeptical of it.
Yeah,
and
so...
And I think that was... The fact that I remember it suggested it was not a trivial thing for her.
Yes.
Or for the Kindle.
Yeah. So in 2008 was like the peak. And then in 2009, she didn't do it because of the recession and felt like it was like people should just be like donating or whatever or not giving anything. And then 2010 was the year that she, like, she retired at the beginning of 2011, so 2010 was the last list, and that was the one that got, like, the most traffic on the web, because I looked up and I saw the spikes, and 2008 was a spike, then obviously 2009, nothing. 2010 was huge. Then she did a list last year, but it obviously didn't run on her show because her show was over, and so it didn't perform that well, and then this year... To try to get more hype, they ran a two-hour, like, hour-long special on it on O. It looks like from the traffic that it's still it's not going to do, like, any better than it did last year, which is interesting. I mean,
well, the big thing this year, at least in tech, was that she endorsed the Microsoft Surface tablet.
Yeah.
But then she got busted tweeting about the Surface from her iPad. So
that's
it was
hilarious.
Like,
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because her influence is obviously waning, and which everybody knows. But she's just an interesting person. There's no one like her in that will have like while we're living, there will be no one as influential culturally and socially as she has been, which I think is really fascinating.
Probably because of the what would you call it? The diversification and almost democratization of media. The fact that it's not, we don't just have three channels on a TV anymore where one lady gets, you know, that huge share of voice. Now there's so many channels and so many websites
and so
Twitter
many
and all these things where there'll probably never be another, you know, like the news anchors that we think of as probably, you know, Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather and Peter Jennings, like there will never be another.
Yeah,
news
Brian Williams is probably the last, and
he
is not even
messing up the Today Show, or is that some
other
guy?
No, that's Matt Lauer.
All right, we should let's talk about one more thing, which was you know we talk a lot about designer collaborations.
Yeah,
there was a really bad one that happened in tech, which was when HTC had invested in the Dr. Dre Beats company.
Oh yeah. People keep pitching me those headphones.
Yeah. So the one that really struck my eye recently is Rodarte for Starbucks, which is like kind of ridiculous.
It is, but you know what? When I first heard about it, I was like, those people are assholes, and now I love it. I'm like really, you know what? A, it looks good.
It does look good. It's surprisingly good. It's kind of like an 8-bit.
Yeah, it looks cool. It has a little bit of their branding, but it's not over crazy. It will... You know, their name will be on the tongues of people who have never heard of them. And you know what? Those girls are, like, hella talented. That sounds really silly, but they're from L.A., hella talented. But they're extremely talented. They make shit money, I'm sure, because they produce one-off dresses, and they're very expensive, but they're never going to, like, ever. It's really hard to... make a good business out of a fashion company. And
so
if
they're getting mass market exposure. Yeah. We were in Starbucks yesterday and they had a booth in the store. There's a lot of these little booths happening in the store now. They had one for their new brewing system and they had one for Rodarte. They were out of the tumbler, which I wanted to buy.
Yeah.
But they had some sort of tote bag and they had like these gift cards. So
yeah, I think good for them. Keep money going into that company. They've done ones with that make a little more, you know, linear sense. Like they did a collaboration with Opening Ceremony, so the stuff was like a little more affordable than their regular stuff. They did one with Target that was really, really successful. And this is kind of like the new business model for young indie designers who are very talented but maybe don't have the resources. And it's really hard to build a fashion house, especially they're based in LA. You know, they're super cool. All the celebrities wear their stuff. I'm sure that every single piece from every runway collection gets sold for a lot of money, but that's still not enough to really build a strong business. So this is kind of like the new business model is you do your own line and you do what you really want to do. But then you do these other one-off collaborations. And in the past, like 10, 15 years ago, that wasn't okay. So it's been an interesting evolution.
Think, like, Starbucks, the crossover makes sense. Like Starbucks will get kind of designy, fashiony people coming into the store.
Yeah.
The, who may or may not go to Starbucks.
Totally.
You know, if I'm in Soho and I'm a fashion dork, I could go to Saturdays and get some really good coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll go check out the Starbucks and see the Rodarte.
Yeah.
And then also it will get Rodarte the Starbucks audience. Because I don't know how like how broadly across America the Starbucks is promoting this, but
I hope
in some drive through in Kansas, that's probably attention for Rodarte they would never get. And maybe some new aspirational people want to buy their stuff. So.
Totally. And Rodarte
just sounded so ridiculous. It sounded really
ridiculous.
But I like it. And it looks good.
Yeah. And, you know, Rodarte is huge on the interwebs, like fashion websites and bloggers, and people are obsessed. So those girls who live in Iowa who have their own style blog or whatever that love Rodarte and definitely can't afford it can now go and get a Rodarte bag, basically. It's a tote. Yeah. But, you know, when I was 16, I would have been in line the first day looking for that crap, you know.
Cool. All right, let's wrap this up quick. Yeah, we got to go.
We got to go. So, my aunt is calling.
thanks for listening.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Again, theneedleandthemouse.com. Check out our gift guide. Shoot us an email at hello@theneedleandthemouse.com or follow us on Twitter @needleandmouse.
And let us know what you want to talk about next week.
That's right. All right. Thanks.